Canto 6, Chapter 4. The Hamsa Guhya prayers offered to the Lord by Prajapati Daksha. The king said, "You briefly explained to me the generation of the gods, the demons and the human beings, the serpents, the beasts and the birds during the rule of Swayambhuva Manu. I would like to hear from you a more detailed account of this matter, my lord, as also an account of the potency of the Transcendental Supreme Lord by which that secondary creation was generated." Sri Sutta said, "O best of the sages, the son of Vyasa, the great yogi, thus hearing about the king's request, praised him and gave an answer. Sri Shuka said, "When the Prachetas, the 10 sons of King Prachinabhari, returned from their prolonged meditation near the ocean, they saw that the entire planet was overgrown by trees. Aggravated because of their austerities, they got angry about the trees and the agriculture that was neglected in their absence, and kindled, with the air from their mouths, a fire to burn down the forests. Seeing how all the trees were burned by the blazing fire, O son of Kuru, the king of the forest, the great moon god Soma, spoke as follows in order to pacify their anger. Do not burn the poor trees to ashes, O fortunate souls. Since you are known as the protectors of the living beings, it is your duty to strive for the welfare and growth of all of them. Do not forget that the Supreme Personality, the Lord, the original unchanging Father and Almighty Protector, created all the trees, plants and herbs to serve as food. The immobile living beings serve with their fruits and flowers as food for the winged ones, and those without limbs, like the grasses, serve as food for the ones with legs, without hands or paws. The four-legged, in their turn, are there for the animals with claws and the bipeds, to serve with respectively their flesh and milk. Your father and the God of gods, O sinless souls, ordered you to generate offspring. How then, for the love of God, can you burn the trees to ashes that sustain all living beings? Like your father, grandfather, and great-grandfather did, just follow the path of the saints and subdue the anger that has risen in you. The ruler protects his subjects, like parents who are friends to their children, like eyelids that protect the eyes, like a husband who protects his wife, like a householder who cares for the needy, and like sages who are the well-wishers of the ignorant. The supersoul, residing within the bodies of all living entities, is the Lord and controller of all. Try to see those bodies as his residence, his temple, and may he thus be pleased with you. Anyone who by inquiry into the nature of the self manages to subdue the powerful anger, which suddenly can awake like a bolt from the blue, transcends the modes of nature. Enough of burning the poor trees. Let there with you be the well-being of the remaining trees, and please accept as your wife the daughter who was raised by them." O King, after thus having addressed the sons, King Soma gave them the Apsara girl, who had very beautiful hips, and returned to his abode. They married her according to the Dharma. They begot in her Daksha, the son of the Prachetas, by whose procreative activity the three worlds thereafter were populated with offspring. Please listen attentively to my story how Daksha, who was so fond of his daughters, by means of his semen, and certainly also through his mind, generated all that life. The Prajapati first, with his mind, created the lives of all those godly and godless living beings, including all the beings resorting under them that fly, roam the earth, or swim. But when he saw that this creation of beings did not increase, Daksha went to the foot of the Vindhya mountains, where he performed the most difficult austerities. There, at the most suitable place to put an end to all sin, the holy place called Agamarshana, he satisfied the Lord by austerely and regularly performing rituals. I shall now explain to you how he, with the Hamsaguya prayers, satisfied the Lord, how he pleased him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead beyond the senses. Dakshar said, "My obeisances unto him, from whom we learn the proper way to transcend the modes and the material energy to which all living beings are bound, unto him, the self-born controller beyond measure and calculation, who in his abode cannot be perceived by a materially directed intelligence. My reverential respect for the friend with whom one lives in this body, and of whose friendship a person has no knowledge, just as the sense objects have no knowledge of the sense organ that perceives them. The living being has knowledge of this body with its types of breath, its internal and external senses, its elements and sense objects that, material as they are, do not know themselves, each other, or anything outside of them. But the living being, knowing about the natural modes and all these matters, in its turn, has no knowledge of him who knows each and all. I praise him, this unlimited Lord. When the mind has come to a stop in the absorption of yoga, and thus all names and projections of a material vision and remembrance have ceased, one will perceive him in his unique spiritual completeness, him, that swan-like personality who is realized in the purest state. I offer my respects. The same way as they who are experts in sacrificing extract the fire dormant in firewood by singing the 15 hymns, the devotees discover him who, with his spiritual powers, hides in their hearts that are covered by the 3 modes of nature and the 9 aspects of matter. He who is realized in bliss when one, sitting passively in meditation, frees oneself from the complete of the illusory diversity, he of all names, he, the gigantic form of the universe, may he, that inconceivable reservoir of all qualities, be merciful unto me. Whatever one expresses in words, ascertains by contemplation, perceives with the senses, or has in mind, everything that exists as an expression of the 3 modes cannot be his essential nature. One knows him in truth only as the cause of the creation and destruction of that what is characterized by the modes. Everything is situated in him, everything originated from him, and everything is moved by him. Everything belongs to him, and everything is there for him. Whether he acts or incites to act, he is the supreme cause of our material and spiritual existence known to all. He is Brahman, the cause of all causes, the incomparable one beyond whom no other cause can be found. My obeisances unto that unlimited, all-pervading Lord of all transcendental attributes, about whose many energies the speakers of the different philosophies, in dispute and agreement concerning causes, in their creativity are continuously bewildered about the true self, the Supersoul. The subject matter, for instance, discussed in the philosophies of Sankhya and Yoga, leads, with professing knowledge of the one absolute truth, wherein one is of agreement about the beneficence of the transcendental greater cause, to a perception of differing opposing characteristics of what would be and would not be. In order to bestow his mercy upon the devotees at his lotus feet, he, the eternal Supreme Personality, who is not bound to any name or form, manifests with the forms and holy names he takes birth with and engages in action. May he, the transcendence in person, be merciful unto me. He who, by the material paths of knowledge, manifests from within the core of the heart according to the desires of each living being, receives material qualities the way the wind does that blows over the earth. May he, my Lord, fulfill my wish to be allowed in his service. Sri Shuka said, "Thus being praised with the prayers offered, the Supreme Lord, the caretaker of the devotees, appeared there in Agamarshana, O best of the Kurus. With his feet on Garuda's shoulders, He with his long and mighty eight arms held up the disc, the conch shell, the sword, the shield, the arrow, the bow, the rope, and the club. His intense blackish-blue form was clad in yellow garments. His face and glance were very cheerful, and his body was adorned with a flower garland reaching to his feet. Decorated with the shining Kaustubha jewel, the Srivatsa mark, a large full circle helmet, glittering shark earrings, a belt, finger rings, bracelets around his wrists and upper arms, and with his ankle bells, his appearance captivated the three worlds. The Lord, the brilliance of the three worlds, was surrounded by eternal associates like Narada, Nanda, and the leaders of the demigods, and was glorified with hymns by the perfected souls and the inhabitants and singers of heaven. Seeing that greatly wonderful form, he was at first frightened, but then, with the hairs of his body standing on end, the Prajapati joyously threw himself flat on the ground to prove his respects. Because of the great happiness that filled his senses like rivers flooded by mountain streams, he was unable to utter a word. Seeing a great devotee like him prostrated, desirous of more life in the world, Janardana, he who appeases all and knows each heart, addressed Daksha as follows. The Supreme Lord said, O son of the Prachetas, you, so greatly fortunate, have in great faith perfected your good self by your austerities and attained, with me as your object of desire, the highest state of love. I am very pleased with you, O ruler of men, because of your penance of fundamental importance to the flourishing of the living beings in this world. It is my wish that they abound. Brahma, Shiva, the founding fathers, the Manus, and the ruling gods are all expansions of my energy and constitute the cause of the welfare of all living beings. Religious penance is my heart, O Brahman. Vedic knowledge is my body. The spiritual activities are the form I assume. The rituals conducted by the book are my limbs, and the God-fearing souls promoting the unseen good fortune of devotional activities are my mind, soul, and life breath. In the beginning, before the creation, I was the only one existing. Nothing else could be found besides me. The external world and all that is known had not manifested, like it is with being immersed in sleep. When, from the unlimited potency of me, endowed with an endless number of qualities, the universe originated as a manifestation of the basic qualities, the gunas, the first living being found therein his existence, Lord Brahma, the one unborn. The moment he, the Lord of all the demigods, invested with my potency, tried to bring about the creation, he considered himself incapable of doing so. I then inspired the god to perform the severest austerity. In the beginning, the nine great personalities, the sages of creation, thus found their existence from him, they from whom all of you have originated. O Prajapati, my dear son, please accept the daughter of Prajapati Panchajana, named Asikni, as your wife. Sexually united as man and woman in acceptance of the rules of the religion, you will, being married to this woman who is of a likewise respect of procreation, again bring forth all the progeny you desired. Under the influence of my material energy engaging in sexual intercourse, all the generations after you will also make offerings to me. Sri Shuka said. Thus having spoken, the Supreme Lord, the creator of all the universe, vanished before his eyes, as if he, the Supreme Personality, had been a dream image.